Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. One of the men who has taken uncommon intelligence and brought it to bear in a manner that has been not only extraordinarily effective in educating untold millions of people about the sorts of things that we should be concerned about, and we certainly are here at Secure Freedom Radio, but he's actually done it with great profitability, I have to say, is our first guest. He is Joel Rosenberg. He is the author of, I've completely lost count, it must be 100 books.
That's not, each and every, not quite.
But each and every one of which...
But it's almost 5 million in print now, Frank.
Five million.
So people are responding to this stuff.
Responding.
Who knew?
Responding in several ways, I think, and that's what I kind of want to get into with you, Joel, is the effect that you have had in informing, yes, but also shaping the public consciousness of some of the really important and, frankly, frightening topics of our time. I'm delighted to have you with us. Joel is, among other things, the founder and chairman of the Joshua Fund, a nonprofit, educational, and charitable organization that he and his wife launched in 2006 for the purposes of mobilizing Christians with respect to Israel.
And her neighbor, who work in not just Israel, but among the Palestinians and in five Arab countries that surround Israel.
Well, you have your work cut out for you.
Absolutely. It's become genocidal conditions since we we didn't know that was coming, but I'm grateful that God set into motion an opportunity to educate, mobilize Christians, because he knew great evil was being unleashed, as it has been in other parts of the world, as
well,
you know.
And this is something we'll talk to in a moment. We're going to do, I'm happy to say, two segments with Joel, but I did want to start by showcasing your newest book. It's entitled The Kremlin Conspiracy. It is one of your novels. Tell us a little bit about the book. You have Russian lineage.
I do.
And I know this touches you in a lot of different ways. Tell us what moved you to write it.
Sure, Frank. Well, it's great to be with you and to see you again face to face. We've done this often on phone, but this is nice. So The Kremlin Conspiracy is a completely new political thriller, new characters. I've spent 16 of the 17 years I've been writing novels focused almost entirely on the Middle East and the threat of radical Islamism to the United States, to the Western Alliance, to Israel, to our Arab allies also. And actually, the last series was about the Islamic State capturing chemical weapons in Syria and planning genocidal attacks.
I know.
Well, I began writing it before most people had even heard of ISIS. And I will just note, just before we get to the Kremlin conspiracy, that King Abdullah of Jordan read the second in that series. He happens to be a named character in the series.
Oh, no kidding.
An advisor read it, gave it to him, and he said, "You have to read this, Your Majesty." He said, "Why?" He said, "Because you're in it." And he looked at it, and he said, "What are you talking about? It's a novel." He goes, "I know, but you're a character." And in 2 days, he read the novel, which was about ISIS trying to kill him and overthrow Jordan and take it over for the Islamic State. And rather than banning me from the kingdom forever, he invited my wife and me to come and spend 5 days with him and talk about these issues. It was extraordinary. Well, I've been doing the threat of radical Islamism for so long, it remains a huge threat. But there are other places where evil is rising in this world. And so the new novel, The Kremlin Conspiracy, a March 6th release, is really about a what-if scenario that's a worst-case scenario. What if a czar rises to power in Moscow? Now,
This would not be literally a czar in the lineage of
Not necessarily
of
in the lineage, but the idea
leader.
Being not a communist leader, not a Soviet leader or even a post-Soviet leader, but somebody who thinks like a czar, who wants to restore the monarchy, may or may not have direct, you know, credentials, but he takes control. And what do you want? What made the monarchs, the czars. My family were Russian Orthodox Jews that escaped under Tsar Nicholas II when he was fomenting the pogroms, a horrible persecution against the Jewish people. So we were fortunate. We got out. But, of course, millions of Jews did not until after the Soviet Union collapsed. But the point was, they were imperialists. They believed in the building the glory of Mother Russia. They not 11 time zones wasn't enough for them. They wanted to expand their territory, and they kept gobbling up much of Europe and Asia and so forth, the Middle East. So what if a czar emerges who thinks this way? And what if, while an American president and administration is focused on North Korea and Iran, serious threats though those are, what if he decides to grab Estonia or Latvia or Lithuania or all three? Now, those are NATO allies since 2004, right? The Baltic states are. Which means to do so would be to trigger Article 5, the Mutual Defense Pact. But the gamble in this fictional leader in the Kremlin is, the gamble is, what if I go grab those in 96 hours, just one of them, or two of them, or three of them? Is the United States of America, is the President of the United States, are the guys in Brussels, are they really going to go to war for Tallinn, for Vilnius, places that most Americans cannot even find on a map?
Right.
Are we really going to go to war? And if we go to war, what if we go to nuclear war? Are we willing to risk that? The gamble that the scenario that's building in the book is, he thinks no. In fact, he thinks, if I do this, nobody's going to do anything. They didn't do anything when I went into Georgia. They didn't do anything when I took Crimea. Now, it's a fictional character. He's not Putin, but he's Putin-esque. And I had to build some of that context. They didn't do anything when I took the Donbass region in Eastern Europe. They're not doing anything when I helped Assad massacre hundreds of thousands in Syria. So I think I'm in the clear on this. And if I win, if I grab it and hold it and nobody comes to stop me, that's the end of NATO as we know it.
Right.
Which means Moscow is the superpower on the planet, and everybody's quaking in fear. That's the premise of the Kremlin conspiracy.
Fascinating. And unfortunately, as is often the case, all too possible a scenario, which is why the value of your books is so great.
Well, fiction has a funny way of shifting around the policy debate and getting into the popular culture.
Right.
Ultimately, everybody in Washington might think something or not think something, but if the country doesn't know, care, if no Paul Revere is sort of riding through saying, hey, the Redcoats are coming, in this case, possibly, not British, but red, then the culture doesn't understand what the threat is. And it took a while. 9/11 was the convergence point, but it took, you and I have been talking about radical Islamism as long as I've known you, and that's got to be 20 plus years, maybe 25.
I think so.
And it took 9/11, but even then, it's taken a long time to understand the threat more broadly than just Al-Qaeda, than just in a cave in Afghanistan. The threat inside the country, the threat to Europe, and so forth. But now there are other threats. And Putin has been pretty cagey. And I would say that he bluffed President George W. Bush. Now, we needed him in a sense during that 9/11 crisis. So I'm not criticizing President Bush, but I haven't looked into Putin's eyes, but I'm not seeing something that I would feel comfortable about, right?
Yeah.
But so I think that was a miscalculation, but I understand why President George W. Bush did it, and I'm not faulting him for it. The reset under Obama and Clinton, that was a disaster. At that point, we knew. That point, we knew what he was up to.
Right.
Now we have a new president who's new, and his statements in the campaign were not good, but his policies and his personnel have been fantastic so far. With one exception, he really sent a message of questioning the value of Article 5 and the Mutual Defense Pact of NATO throughout the, not only through the campaign, but even well into the first year of the administration. Now, he's changed on that. That's good. But that has left a lingering question in the minds of the NATO allies, particularly the Baltic states, who are coming for a summit with him, and this is good, April 3rd to Washington. That's good.
Timing for the book.
Yeah, well, it is, actually. It turns out I didn't know, but Vice President Pence went
to
spend time there.
I'd like to think this is no conspiracy, but it's certainly going to work.
Well, here's the other thing about Putin. And he's got this election coming up. Election. I don't know what the term is. I haven't come up with the fake news term, fake elections. But why March 18th? It wasn't actually the legal date. They changed the date. Why? Because that's the that's the anniversary of 3 years since they annexed, illegally, Crimea.
Really? Joe Rosenberg, we have to pause for just a second.
Sure.
You've put so much on the table. We're here at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. That's why the background noise. Visiting with Joel Rosenberg, a best-selling author many times over, the founder of the Joshua
Fund.
This program in a day. We'll be right back with more with Joel Rosenberg.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.